The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 17th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Nice day outside, a little warm outside today. I've got the pants and pullover on, and man, it's actually a little warm when you get in the vehicle today, and I think it is going to get chillier. And somebody said something about snow on Christmas, and I said, no, I think that was a misread there on that one. Don't think we have any chances of snow here in the state of Alabama this season or this year for Christmas. But I hope you're doing well on this Tuesday. Got a lot to get to on the show today. The transfer portal keeps transfer portaling. I mean, it's just nonstop nowadays with guys entering, guys committing, guys signing. Auburn has been, I'm not going to say the top transfer portal performer, but I'm willing to say top five. I think that's very fair to say. We're going to dive into that here on the show today. Also want to talk a little Auburn basketball, as they are still number two in the AP poll, but they have risen and the top team in the net. So we'll get to that a little bit today as well. And looking forward to this, coming up at 2:30, so in just about 30 minutes or so, the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, Jeff Graba, is going to join us on the phone lines. He's going to call in as the Lady Tigers have their preview meet coming up tomorrow inside of Neville Arena, and the season is right around the corner. So head coach Jeff Graba is going to join us here on ESPN. In about 30 minutes, we'll talk to him about that roster, about the preview meet tomorrow, what you need to know, and about that brutal schedule that they're going to go through this season. So that's at 2:30, and then we'll talk some more transfer news, possibly big transfer news in Tuscaloosa as well. So lot to get to on the show today, and I say we because I'm not alone. He's with me on Tuesdays and Fridays and any other day that we need him, basically. Voice of Lee Scott, Christian Griffin in the studio. My man, how are you?
Doing well, man. You talk about the portal keeps on portaling. I feel like that's an understatement, and Hugh Freeze keeps on portaling as well. I do believe as of yesterday, Auburn, according to On3, did have the number one transfer portal class, and then a couple other additions this morning officially as well. And so I don't think that number would have gone anywhere, if not dropped, but maybe a spot or two. But what an absolutely fantastic job that him and this staff have done getting the positions that you need. Again, the way that we've always seen this portal is you don't go out and build a team through the transfer portal. You go out and you find your positions and guys that you need and the spots that you don't necessarily feel like are up to par or have the depth that you necessarily feel like it needs to compete in the SEC. And now you've gotten two quarterbacks, you've gotten two big-time linemen, you've got a couple linebackers, a couple defensive backs as well. Those are the positions that you really felt like you were going to have to improve based off of the guys that you lost this past year and now with graduation. And what a fantastic job that Hugh Freeze and staff are doing so far.
Well, yesterday me and Uncle T-Bone had the opportunity to talk about Jackson Arnold. We got to talk Xavier Chaplin, got to talk Rayon Strader. That one broke right near the end of the show. Same thing with Tay Seymour, and we're going to get to those guys, the punter as well from Oklahoma State. And we had a chance to talk about those guys at Darrell Robinson, and we are, again, going to mention those guys and do need to show them the love. But since yesterday, literally in the last 22 hours since I walked out of this studio, Auburn picked up more transfer portal commits. They picked up one today, the four-star offensive tackle from USC, Mason Murphy, 6'5", 315 pounds. We'll get to him in a second. And oh yeah, Auburn's got another quarterback in the room, Ashton Daniels, the Stanford starting quarterback, who has been rumored and reported to be coming to Auburn for, what, the last 5, 6, 7 days probably? But that is official. He is here, he is signed, and he will be in that quarterback room as well. So, Christian, up to this point, you have, let's see, how many, 8 incoming transfers officially as we stand here right now for Auburn. 8 new players are coming in, a safety, a punter, 2 tackles, a running back, couple of corners, or 1 corner, and 2 quarterbacks. How would you grade it to this point as we sit here at 2:07 on Tuesday, December 17th? How would you grade what Auburn has done so far in the transfer portal?
As if I was a teacher giving A, B, C, and I would
and
say...
It's the end of the semester. You've taken your final. You walk in and say, sir, I need
They're actually
this.
Right in the middle of their final right now. But
true. Sir, I graduate on Friday night. I have to pass this. Some of us have been there.
We have. Yeah, well, based off of your regular season performance throughout the entire year.
Sir, I did all the homework.
You're kind of sitting around, you know, a C plus. You're on the verge of, if you don't do good next year, you might not be able to continue on this pathway.
And you have to have this class before you can take the next class.
However,
God, I don't
with the
that.
Extra credit that you've done and now with the mini-mester that you've added now at the end of your term, I think you have to give them an A right now. I won't go to an A plus because there's a couple names that you haven't necessarily gotten. I think you could very much be on the path to an A plus. I would say an A right now, and I mean that because of everything I said kind of in the intro with you've gotten the guys in the spots that you've needed. Quarterback play was obviously your biggest highlight, and so the fact that you already have a name, right? You're not sitting there scrambling at the end of this portal or trying to get somebody that comes off of one of the teams that's in the playoff right now or even in the spring semester when that portal opens as well. You have the guys now that you're already expecting. It's going to be Deuce Knight. It's going to be Jackson Arnold for a majority of the winter. Ashton Daniels is going to come after the spring to add depth to that room. And the offensive linemen, again, the guys that you've brought in, Xavier Chaplin, and now you're bringing in Mason Murphy. Offensive line, especially in pass protection, has been a very weak spot in this offense. You feel like they're a top 5, top 3 even SEC run offense or run offensive line, but the pass protection has been really, really struggling. And so the fact that you've not only settled for roster spots and filling depth, you've been able to almost be the aggressor and go out and get the names that you've wanted and make it to where Jackson Arnold says, you know what? I don't even need to go. Let's cancel these 2 other visits that I had. Auburn's home.
I should have included this in my question, but does your answer change? Because your answer seems like it's based off of the incoming guys. Does your answer change based off of what Auburn has lost? I believe the count is at 15 now that Auburn has lost through the transfer portal. Amaris Williams, Walker White, Hank Brown, Caleb Burton, TJ Lindsey, Tamden Brown. Those types of guys, Michael Riley. I mean, does your answer change at all based off of what Auburn has lost versus what they've replaced it with? I mean, it's all one grade. It's how you,
right.
And I think you have to look at it that way. How have you performed in the transfer portal by gains and subtractions? Because that's the big conversation right now. It seems like in national media or even in local markets like ourselves, the conversation for a lot of these programs, not named Auburn or LSU, is look at the players that are leaving these programs. That's the storyline right
yes.
now is all the guys that are leaving. And again, there's one in Tuscaloosa that could be a possibility that we're going to get to in just a little bit. But Auburn is not in that conversation. The only one that we've really been like, well, I guess there's been a couple. But Amaris Williams is
yes.
one, and I think the quarterbacks have been another one. Hank Brown, maybe not so much, but the Walker White definitely hurt. Auburn lost 3 quarterbacks this cycle. 3! But yet, the highlight is what Auburn has gained. And so, back to my original question, does your answer change? Does Auburn get a different grade if you loop in who they've lost in the transfer portal as well?
If you're including those, I think, again, the 2 biggest names that you include there is Walker White and Amaris Williams. And there's been talks with Williams and not anything being confirmed yet, or, you know, not going to dive too much into that or play that game. But if everything stays right now, I think you would still, I mean, it might be A minus, it might be B plus. I'd probably go with a B plus just because of those two guys. That being said, if you're looking at pure on-field production that you've lost versus the on-field production that you're gaining, I think that that also would sway the lever back to that A-minus rank, just because there's a couple different guys that, you know, decided that Auburn wasn't the place, but didn't necessarily find themselves at the starting position or even the second string position for a majority of the season. The guys that you're bringing in with all sorts of guys. I mean, again, looking at it with my computer shut down on me, but again, the names that we've gotten, those two linemen, the guy coming from Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. who's coming in as a sophomore, and you see all of the snaps that he played, only allowed two or three sacks throughout the entire year.
Yeah, he allowed two sacks on 300 pass attempts, only a couple of quarterback hurries and a few quarterback hits. I mean, the guy was a stud on the offensive line.
Right, so it's guys like that to where it says right now you've lost 12 3-stars, you've gained six, but you've also gained 4 stars and haven't lost any. And so by looking at kids that have legitimate college playing experience, I think that plays a really big factor as well off of what you're losing versus what you're gaining.
I say that the storyline in most programs right now is about who is leaving rather than who's coming in. How about this news from USC? They're losing another guy, Zachariah Branch, their wide receiver. They say he's a star wide receiver. The dude's got 3 touchdowns in 2 years. Like, can we kind of pump the brakes on that a little bit? I understand On Three's got to get their clicks and their engagement on social media. He very well could be good, but that goes back to my original point of the storylines, and I would say 75% of these programs right now in December, right? You still have a handful of teams in the college football playoff or preparing for bowl games, whatever. But most programs are worried about who they're losing. Auburn is concerned about who they're bringing in. That's because Auburn's a bad football team. You didn't make a bowl game. You're a bad football team. That's pretty much the line we've drawn in the sand since the 1800s. Like, if you don't make a bowl game, you're not considered a good team. So Auburn had a lot to gain. And again, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but you had a lot of dead weight, extra fat on the bone to cut off and get rid of and replace it with guys that can help you win games, because the roster you had clearly wasn't good enough. Whether we think it was or not, that's a different conversation, but just based off the results on the field, it was not good enough. And so Auburn has done good work in the portal, and I'll answer my own question. I think right now, with everything that has happened, with the guys you lost compared to the ones you're bringing in, I'll give it a B+2. Maybe I'll even take it an A- because you got two quarterbacks right now.
Right. That's the biggest thing is
I'll take an A- because of two quarterbacks confirmed, signed, sealed, and delivered. I think that's big news. And not having to worry about filling those spots anymore. Yes, you want to go get one more, and Auburn will probably do that. But you've got two right now. And two that I think are sound. You brought in two Power 4 starters in your quarterback room to pair with the 5-star out of high school that Auburn's bringing in Deuce Knight. So, yeah, plus the offensive tackles are unbelievably good too. So I'll give it an A-.
Transfer portal right now is kind of turning into a battle versus predator and prey. And you feel like over the past decade or so, it's almost been, not even in the transfer portal, but just in the college football season, Auburn's been the prey. But right now, being that predator, going out and with the quarterbacks, going and getting the guy that you want, going and getting the guy that will fit your system, rather than it being January 2nd or January 3rd, and it's this guy might be the answer. He might be good enough, because again, Don't want to sit on it too long, but it's what you did in the past 2 years.
It's exactly right. And John in Auburn sent us a text in the On the Line text box, which is open always, by the way, 334-784-1067. And he says, will major SEC and Big Ten schools stop recruiting high school quarterbacks and just look into the portal to go get them? I'm going to say no immediately. I'm going to say no. But they may not put as much value on getting several high school quarterbacks. I think getting one big name a year is still the way to go. Or if the class just doesn't have that many guys and you don't get him, then you don't get him. And you have that backup option for the transfer portal. But as I've said with almost every position in football, it's still better long term. I still firmly believe this to my core, that recruiting a high school kid and developing him over 2 or 3 years, he will be better because of it, and your team and program will be better because of it. Now, that's becoming harder and harder to do, but I still think that is the way to go, especially at the quarterback spot.
Definitely, yeah. High school recruiting, at least as a bulk, I don't ever believe will go away.
How could it? How would it?
I don't know
how that process would go. I don't see. A high school kid still has to go and still wants to go play college football, and college.
You're not
going
to force him to go play at some community college.
Yeah, well, there's also not enough players in the portal to fill every team.
Yeah,
right. I mean, your whole roster doesn't leave every year. I get what you're saying, but continue.
No, just again, I don't expect that to go anywhere. Again, if you bring in one name a year, that you love at that quarterback position, and you find somebody every other year to either teach, or if the other kid's not there yet, to bring in to play that role for a year or two. But again, especially if you love where your staff is at and you feel like you have a bunch of guys that are proven to be developers and get guys to the next level, it's a hard reality to look 5 years from now, but I expect there to be some sort of rules and limitations on the craziness of the NIL and the transfer portal, whether it be you can only go one time now, or you transfer, go back to that transfer 1 year and sit out a year, or there's a cap on yearly budgets or whatever, which is crazy to think that you can have salary caps in college football.
It's coming.
But in a couple years from now, it will go back to you put a lot of primary focus on the teams that you truly feel like will be the best fit for you, rather than going somewhere because of a dollar sign and then transferring out a year later like you're seeing so many guys do.
334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and open up the phone lines for you if you want to be a part of the show. And again, you can always shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. We'll take a break, come back, dive into some of these guys individually that Auburn has brought in. And reminder, coming up at 2:30, Auburn University's gymnastics head coach Jeff Graven will join us on the phone lines to have a conversation about the preview meet coming up tomorrow in the upcoming season for the Tigers. That's here on ESPN 1067.
You are on the line on ESPN 1067, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 1067 app.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 1067. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We're talking transfer portal as Auburn has, how long has the portal been open? What day did it officially? Was it the 5th?
Monday.
Last Monday, right?
So 8 days now, yeah.
It's been open for 8 days. So Auburn is averaging a portal edition a day right now. They're averaging one per day. That includes weekends. Not bad. Not too bad. And you said what? On Three has Auburn as the number one portal team right now. I'm looking at 247 for... That's recruiting. I don't want that.
Transfers right now, according to On Three, because... Texas A&M got the receiver that they were wanting to get, and then Ole Miss picked up the Missouri true freshman running back. They're now 1 and 2. Auburn is at 3.
Okay.
Right now as things sit. But
where is LSU on that list?
Ooh. Well, I find LSU, that though, but
LSU has cleaned up in the transfer portal. They got like the second ranked DB yesterday or today. I mean, it's crazy what they've been able to do.
LSU is 47th.
In the portal rankings?
Yeah.
There's no way.
They've lost 16 guys and they're bringing in 8. So, well, again, that goes to production.
There you go. Yeah,
that but goes, yeah. That also shows you. So, it shows that the rankings aren't
everything
because yes. of the rating that players get when they transfer, but very similar to what Auburn is, which, granted, you're 40-plus spots ahead of them. When you're looking at the production on field that you're bringing in versus what you've lost, that has to be a weighed-in factor as well.
Well, Auburn has gotten significantly better through the transfer portal with almost every, I think, every addition they've made.
Yeah, so far the 12 spots, or the 12 transfers that they've lost, their average portal ranking is a 67.7. The 8 transfers that they are bringing in, their average portal ranking is a 79.3.
For Auburn?
Yes.
So you're upgrading by
13.5 points, essentially, per player.
More than a full letter grade, if you're going yes. back to the grading scale. More than a full letter grade upgrade with half as many players.
Which is, at worst, half a star, if you're thinking in that side of things.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. And there's so many guys that have contributed to that. Of course, Jackson Arnold is the big one. And we have more conversations we're going to talk here today with Arnold and Daniels, and I'm really excited about both of these guys. And I know that the narrative right now, and has been for the last week or so, that Ashton Daniels is transferring in just to be the backup. I don't believe that. I don't buy into that. I think as a Power 4 starter coming to the SEC from Stanford, you are stepping into that room to try and be the guy. And he has, what, 2 years of eligibility remaining, does Ashton Daniels? You bring him in. Arnold has just the one or two. I can't remember what Jackson Arnold has.
He'll be a junior.
So he's got two.
Yeah.
And then Deuce Knight is a freshman. You have guys who can play here for several years, multiple years, which is a luxury nowadays. These are not one-year rentals. This is not somebody that's going to come in, be flashy, and leave. I truly believe that Auburn has a three-man quarterback race right now. And I think it should be treated that way, Christian. I think this should be fully treated. Take the blinders off. Take the biases away. Throw the stats out the window. Arnold, Daniels, Knight. Who wins the battle? And whoever it is, come August 31st, you're the man. We're on the road at Baylor. Let's go.
And I think that that needs to be the mentality of the team. That needs to be the mentality of the fan base as well, rather than sitting
Absolutely.
There looking at stats saying that, you know, you've heard the talk of Jalen or Ashton Daniels is going to be, you know, he's just the Peyton Thorne part two or whatever it may be. There's so many different factors that go into things like that. It needs to be a three-man race. Be happy that it is a three-man race and you have three guys that you feel like can legitimately go win you the job and win you football games. And you sit back and you watch the result of the coaches and the guys that have seen him every day of practice.
Now, fans are more than welcome to have their choice and their opinion on who they think should be the starter, and everybody will. We're all going to have that, and we're going to hear that throughout the spring and get notes from the coaches and hopefully get some viewing windows and things like that. Yes, that's totally fine. But it's completely unfair to sit here today on December 17th, when all three quarterbacks in the room have yet to walk in the building, have never stepped foot in the building as an Auburn Tiger. None of them have worn the helmet yet. So it's unfair for us to say, yeah, Arnold's the starter. It's Deuce. He's too good. He's too hype. Daniels just doesn't have a chance. I just don't think that's right.
Well, it's that, and all three of these guys are coming in at completely different spots in their careers.
It's a good point,
right? I mean, Ashton Daniels has had two legitimate years being a starting quarterback for Stanford, has had an awful offensive line and a terrible running back room to not really give him any help. You're looking at Jackson Arnold, has all of the potential in the world, has dealt with injury problems, and then dealt with a team that was destroyed by the injury bug this past year. And then you're bringing in a kid who has all of the hype in the world, yet has not played a collegiate football snap. And so three totally different guys at three totally different standpoints and realities of their college football career. Let it be that three-man race, and let it be that way all the way through spring.
And I hope that Hugh Freeze and this offensive staff are licking their lips and just in excitement of what this room could be for Auburn at the quarterback position. More talks of the transfer portal and college basketball later on in the show. But when we come back, we're going to have Auburn's head coach for gymnastics. Yes, Jeff Graba joins us on the phone lines coming up next right here on ESPN 106.7.
On the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins, and we are excited to welcome in on the phone lines the head coach of Auburn University Gymnastics, Jeff Graba, joining us on the phone lines. Coach, how are you, man? Great to talk to you today.
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I know it's about to be a very, very busy time for you and your overly successful gymnastics program, and wanted to allow you the opportunity to come on and just talk about your team and your program and what's coming up this year. And that starts tomorrow night with the preview meet that is happening inside of Neville Arena. And so for fans that maybe don't know quite what it is or how that works, I mean, it's Auburn versus Auburn. Kind of tell the folks what that's going to look like tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's our only shot before season starts of everybody getting in Neville Arena and getting used to the equipment there. So in a lot of respects, it's the most important night before the season starts, because we need to have that home field advantage. So what they'll see tomorrow night is a lot of the people that they're used to seeing, you know, get another glimpse of where they are in the process right now and what the new season will look like for them. But they're also going to see a lot of new faces out there. We've got a lot of new people on the team, and it's their opportunity to get used to the equipment and get used to the environment tomorrow night. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, you mentioned something right there about equipment, and I feel like that's something we may not think about, or even the average, you know, sports fan or gymnastic fan. I mean, getting used to the equipment that you use in your home gym, I mean, that has to be something that has a negative effect on the road, does it not?
Oh, yeah. And it, you know, you just add in, just think about adding in all the stress and anxiety that you get when you're, you know, on a road meet and that type of stuff. But, so you add that on top of the fact that it's different equipment. You don't get to practice on it very much. So the home team supposedly gets to practice on it, you know, quite a bit more. But it's also the height of the ceilings, where the lights are. All of that stuff is really important when you're flipping upside down a couple times and you have to land perfectly on your feet. All the different environments, you know, play havoc with your timing.
Yeah, the easiest comparison I think I can use is like for a basketball player shooting on a basket with a different backdrop, right, Coach? It seems like that would be something just gets into your head if you're not ready for that. And so excited to get to see your team in action tomorrow night for a preview meet. Tell the fans what that process is and what they need to know. Just general information for tomorrow night before we dive deeper into your squad.
Well, we're going to do quite a bit of gymnastics. It's pretty much full speed tomorrow night. We're late enough in December now that everybody's full speed. So what they'll see is pretty much what we think they're going to be doing in January for our meets. So the routines will be, I wouldn't say they're final polished, but they're pretty darn close to what you're going to see. The difference tomorrow night is you're going to see a lot of our athletes. Pretty much everybody. We're going pretty deep in our lineup. So pretty much everybody who's available to go and has, you know, a respectable routine at this point is going to go. So they're going to see a lot of options that they might not see in January. We only get to compete six girls on any given night in January, and we're going to see 12 deep, maybe even 14 deep on an event tomorrow night.
That's fantastic. So looking forward to that. Again, Auburn Gymnastics and their preview meet tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena. And then the regular season begins with the new year in 2025. You and your team will be heading to Nashville for the Music City Championship, where you start with Oklahoma, BYU, and Nebraska. Coach, I saw something the other day, according to College Gym News, that Auburn Gymnastics has the toughest rated schedule in the country. Do you agree with that as you look up and down this thing?
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise to us. You know, we're bringing our out-of-conference meet in town is Oregon State with Olympian Jade Carey on their team. So, you know, one of the things that we try to do, first off, we're in the SEC. Everybody's going to have a tough schedule. But our philosophy is to bring the best in. If we compete against the best, I think in the end, we will be the sharpest team out there when we have to be in postseason. So,
sure.
I welcome it. I really like the fact that we have the toughest schedule in the country, and I think it, our fans are going to benefit from seeing the best gymnastics in the country right in Neville Arena.
And so with that, Nashville, San Antonio, and then, yes, you will be in Neville Arena. It looks like first SEC match will be on January 17th against Arkansas. And as we visit with Auburn's head gymnastics coach, Jeff Graba, here on ESPN 106.7. Let's talk about your team a little bit, Coach, where I believe I counted 8 seniors on this roster. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have 8 seniors, and we have a bunch. We have one junior. And then we have a ton of freshmen and sophomores. Hmm. So, you know, some of our seniors, I think we have 3 that are exercising their fifth, their COVID year. This is the last year that they can do that. So they'll get their fifth year. So we are benefiting from quite a bit of experience, in our senior group, but we're going to compete quite a few really young people. So, I can't get shorter, but I can definitely lose my hair. So that might be what's happening right now.
Well, I know there's some of the well-known popular names of girls that have been here for several years, Gabby McLaughlin, Sophia Groth. I mean, the ones that really shine in their Auburn career so far. What have those seniors, all of them, meant to you in this Auburn gymnastics program, which, again, has been one of the most successful in the SEC in the last handful of years?
Yeah, you know, this senior class was a freshman class when we went to the Final Four. So it's done a tremendous job for us. This class in and of itself has really started to set the standard for us. You know, we've almost won an SEC championship, a regular season championship. We lost on a tiebreaker in 22 as well. So, you know, quite a bit of success. We've had our first SEC champion in years with Cassie Stevens last year. So this senior class has been involved in some of the biggest marks in recent history for Auburn gymnastics. So we're stealing a lot from them. We're using them a lot. They're helping our young people really figure this game out, you know, and then helping the coaching staff. I was listening to your segment before about the quarterback room for football. And, you know, I find it funny because I have an opinion about the quarterback room too. We all follow Auburn football.
Sure.
But I'll just let everybody know, as a coach, I don't know my people yet. You know,
that's a great point.
I think I know them. I think I see what happens in practice is not what happens in the meet for us sometimes. And I can guarantee it's probably the same in that quarterback room when you get into game situations. So I'm looking forward to a meet situation tomorrow night, because what I want to know if what I think I know is what I really know. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we'll see.
Right. I mean, pressure makes diamonds, right? I mean, you don't know what you've got until you see it in action. And how many times, Coach, have we seen in gymnastics or football or swimming or basketball where you've got a great competitor in practice? You've got the best shooter in the country in practice, but then when they get to the game on the hardwood, they can't perform, or on the beam, or whatever the case may be, and you just don't know until, like you said, you see them in real action.
Yeah, and then the alternates, the flip side's really important too. It's that person who's decent in practice, and you're happy with them, but they don't, you know, stand out to a high level, but they can crank it up in a game. You know, you look at the NFL and you think about all these, you know, Tom Brady was on the bench, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then in a game day situation, when he had to get in, he made such a statement that you couldn't pull him out. And that you're always going to have athletes like that. Gabby McLaughlin was that for us. She was a walk-on her first 3 years here. And she came here with not a whole lot of options, and we just felt like she had potential. But, man, watching her compete, I think a lot of people are thinking they missed the boat on that one. So I'm hoping to see what happens. You know, I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised tomorrow night with some other people that are in our freshman and sophomore classes.
Well, I want to ask you some more about your younger ones. I know you haven't seen them in that action yet, and you don't know exactly what you have, but has anybody or a couple of girls stood out to you just vocally or with their work and their effort who have come in and just really hit the ground running in their young careers at Auburn?
Yeah, I think Bryn Bartman is a freshman. She actually is a redshirt freshman. She had one routine last year and then had a season-ending surgery. So she has just a little bit of experience, but she's a really refined gymnast, and I think she's actually going to do some really good routines for us this year. Kiko Jong, who's an international elite, she should be able to step in. She might be our all-arounder as a freshman. She reminds me a lot of this is high praise. I'm not putting it together. I'm not tying it, but she's going to look a little bit of what Suni Lee had as far as gymnastics,
wow,
her performance level, that type of stuff. You know, obviously, she's got a long ways to go to have the accomplishments that Suni did, but she's got some stuff in her. Marissa Neal is coming from an international elite. Both those two just barely missed Olympic trials this year. So,
wow.
So that should say something about where they are. And then we have some junior Olympic athletes joining us, which are Olivia Ahern and Sophia Bell, that are really accomplished at that next level of not the Olympics. Basically, just think of the U.S. Olympics, not international. So we've got quite a few people who are going to step in and really, really fight for spots.
Auburn University Gymnastics Head Coach Jeff Graba joining us here on during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. You mentioned her name, and we got to ask about the former Auburn Tiger, Suni Lee, the Olympian, the decorated Olympian who was competing this past summer. I mean, what does it mean to you as a coach, and I know your family and so many ties with Suni, what does it mean to be able to watch her do what she does and perform at the highest level and just be so decorated at what she does?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think my brother and I, we talked about this not too long ago. I think the best way to wrap it up for us is relief. You know, I just feel like she went through so much and, you know, I don't think they did her justice on what she went through. The battle she fought the last 2 years, it's just amazing she was even able to go out there. I was relieved that she got another shot at it. I was not surprised that she's capable at competing at that high of a level. She's just not only a premier athlete, she's just a true gritty competitor who can do anything anytime she wants, it seems, and is one of the most courageous people I've ever coached. But I'll just say, just absolute relief to get to watch her go again. That was one of our goals when she came here. We all had an agreement. We're going to do 1 or 2 years at Auburn, and then our goal was to get her back to the Olympics. Her goal was to get back to the Olympics, and my brother's goal was to take her back. So all of it worked well together, and, you know, we got to steal 2 years from the best athlete in the world at the time, and she got 2 great years of what she says is expanding her family. She just, coming back to Auburn is like coming home for her, so wish her nothing but the best.
Well, it's really cool to see her represent the United States and represent Auburn as well, Suni Lee, in the Olympics. And it's really cool to watch you and what you've built with this program to become one of the most competitive programs, not just in the SEC, but in all of college gymnastics, as Auburn has their preview meet coming up tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena, 7 o'clock before the regular season will start with the turn of the new year. One more before we let you go, Coach Graba. Is there a meet that you're looking forward to the most this season, whether it's in conference or one of those trips that you guys are making in the non-con? Is there one that really sticks out to you that you've got circled on the calendar this year?
Yeah, I mean, having Oklahoma in Neville Arena for the first time, I think it's a huge deal for us. We get to host their first year in the SEC. We get to host them, and I just feel like that's a big deal. You know, Oklahoma's coming off a bunch of national championships. The coaching staff there goes, we go way back there. She's from, KJ Kindler's from Minnesota as well. So, we have a lot of ties there, and it's one of the best programs in the country. So all the other SEC programs, it's the best places to compete. It's the best teams to compete against, but a little bit of something special with the first time Oklahoma's ever been in Neville Arena. I'm hoping that one's memorable.
That one on February 28th inside of Neville Arena. Looking forward to that and all of the meets that Auburn Gymnastics will be in this season. Head Coach Jeff Graba joining us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, great to have you on. We really do appreciate your time. Good luck to everybody who's in competing or in competition coming up tomorrow for the preview meet, and best of luck this season.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. And there's still tickets available, so I'm encouraging everybody to go out and buy them so that they can watch us this season.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time, Coach. War Eagle.
All right, War Eagle.
That's Coach Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, joining us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Fascinating thoughts from him and insights on gymnastics, where it's a sport that's so competitive. It's so mind, I don't know, twisting, I feel like. I mean, you battle yourself. It's you. And you. Yes, it's a team sport, but it's all on you. You've got to compete, and you've got to perform. And getting some really cool insights there from head coach Jeff Graba of Auburn University Gymnastics. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one, and get into hour two here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Shout out to Auburn University's head gymnastics coach, Jeff Graba. That was really cool. I'm really, really glad we were able to get him on and have him talk about his team, which is, yes, built with seniors and freshmen is basically what Auburn Gymnastics has for this upcoming year. And, yeah, the toughest schedule in the country. They also bring in Oklahoma, who we talk about Oklahoma coming to the SEC. We highlighted baseball, softball, right? Of course, football. Heck, now basketball this year. But in case you aren't familiar with what happens in college gymnastics, Oklahoma's kind of good. They're legit. I mean, they are one of the most dominant programs in college gymnastics, and they're going to be competing inside Neville Arena in Auburn coming up in February. So, again, really appreciate Jeff Graba for joining us. Like he said, preview meet tomorrow. There are still tickets available for that and for the regular season. So be sure if you are into that, I'm telling you, gymnastics meets are a ton of fun.
I was going to say, even if you're not necessarily into that, I know that we both did some covering of it when we were university students.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
My parents have season tickets. They love it. They love it. Only one of my sisters does gymnastics, but my family loves and coming down. I mean, they're what, like an hour and a half long? It's an easy view. There's always something happening. Always. The only time it stops is when they move, when they rotate their different events. Other than that, there's always somebody going, and it really is neat. It is.
And it's such a different event than what you're used to watching, right? To where you have a clear winner and a clear loser every single time that one of those teams takes the floor. In gymnastics, not half the reason, but I mean, you're there to also watch the other team compete, and you're not necessarily booing or cheering against their success because it's a total point system, right?
Yeah.
To where, although it might be the final score is this to this, it all goes into a formula to where everything gets added up, to where that's how you'll see teams that are, quote, 4-6 that are the third seed going into the playoffs or whatever it may be, just because you're there to truly watch both of these teams compete and do it at a high level. Again, you have three or four things going on the floor at the exact same time. Absolutely an amazing thing to watch.
It is. And I treat watching gymnastics, because you see such high-level competition, especially in the SEC, I treat it the same way I treat watching golf. Like, I have my favorite golfers, yes, but I never, ever, and I feel this way about gymnastics, I never want to see somebody lose because they perform bad. I want my people to win because they played good. For example, I like to see Scottie Scheffler win, But I want to see Scotty win because he birdied 17 and then had to get a par save on 18 rather than Xander Schauffele triple bogeying 17 on the way up and then Scotty's handed the win. Same thing with gymnastics. I want to see Auburn's, you know, Sophia Groth get a 10 on the floor rather than a girl from Kentucky fall off the beam. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I see it. Now, doesn't do that way at all sports. I want to see Alabama fumble the ball 10 times. I mean, I want to see, like somebody said, I want to see them miss every single shot that they take in college basketball. But I think gymnastics and golf and swimming and things like that, it's such an individualized sport.
Right.
You don't want them to perform bad. You just want somebody to outperform the other one.
And I think that's why it's such a cool environment to be a part of because, again, you're watching greatness on the floor. You're, especially, again, in the SEC, the level of competition.
And the crowds are hype, man.
It is, and it's awesome. You feel like no matter what, they're cheering. He brought up such a good point, too, talking about being on your home floor and being able to, for the very first time this year, being able to feel everybody out. It was exactly like what you were talking about with basketball and how the different viewpoints, the different backlights and things like that. Mm-hmm. Such an interesting topic of conversation that you and I probably never would have thought of unless we were able to talk to him today.
Yeah, well, we thoroughly enjoyed that and hope you did as well. Again, shout out Jeff Grabe, head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, who joined us in this hour here on ESPN 106.7. Lots more coming up in hour number two. College basketball, transfer portal, potential news in the state and around the conference. That's all coming up in hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you missed a good one. I'll tell you what. Good news is you can go catch up with the podcast later on today if you would like at ESPNAU.com. That's our station website where you can listen to the show live there every day, and you can go back and listen to all of our shows as a podcast. In hour number one, Christian Griffin and I, we talked a lot about Auburn and the transfer portal. We'll pick up on that conversation in just a little bit here in hour number two. Talked about a lot of the additions for Auburn. I do want to dive deeper into those a little bit about what Auburn is getting at the quarterback spot and some new offensive linemen and then some defenders. And so we're going to get some more of that in hour two, but we had that in the first hour. And we also had a fantastic conversation with Auburn University's head gymnastics coach, Jeff Grabe. He joined us on the phone lines in that first hour and was able to, get this, preview their preview meet tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena as the Tigers will be competing. It's Auburn versus Auburn. It's just about getting as many girls as possible into the rotation and getting them reps inside of Neville Arena. So that's coming up tomorrow, and the season begins with the turn of the new year in 2025. So head coach Jeff Grabe joined us to talk about his team that is very senior-led, 8 seniors on that roster, and they compete in the toughest schedule in America. So I had a great conversation with him. If you missed any of that from hour number one, again, be sure to go and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. As I mentioned, we're going to talk transfer portal here in hour number two. We're going to start the hour with basketball. We're going to get to that in just a second as Auburn is in action tonight against Georgia State inside of Neville Arena. The second-ranked team in the country is Auburn, the first-ranked team in the net. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but before we do, Want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. You can give us a call again, 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Jones sent us a text about college coaches, and I guess this does go, we can loop this into basketball too. So Jones, let's get to this. He says in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067, Jones asked the question, how do college coaches prevent players from comparing salaries without causing morale issues in the locker room? And if you remember, this was the main argument for years and years and years. I can flash back and remember being a kid and hearing my dad and his friends talk about that very thing was, you can't pay college athletes. It'll cause a riff in the locker room. It'll cause distractions. It'll cause problems in the locker room. And what are they going to do when the quarterback makes this much and the offensive lineman only makes this much? And that was a conversation for a long, long time. And one of my arguments, Christian, and why I did not want players to be paid in college. But here we are, right? You've got quarterbacks now that make anywhere from $1 to $5 million to come play somewhere, compared to an offensive lineman that may only be making $50,000 to be there. I mean, that situation that we talked about a decade plus ago is actively happening in front of our eyes. And so I pose this question to you from what Jones is asking. How do coaches keep that part separate when it's time to play the game? Football, basketball, gymnastics, whatever. How do you keep the money separate from competing as a team?
I think right now it's probably the toughest thing that a coach is having to do because, again, you're having guys come in on week 7 and week 8 saying, hey, if I don't start getting this next year or even starting now, I'm going to leave. Or I'm gonna sit my transfer year, my redshirt year, and I'm going to use this season and I'm going to go somewhere else if you don't do this. They use it as leverage. And
it's totally backwards to where players have full leverage now. They have all the cards, and they play it however they want to. And the coaches, I was talking about this with T-Bone yesterday, they've got coaches on their knees begging players to stay.
Well, that's what I mean. You're having people do it from yesterday and today, and I'm sure we'll get to that from across the state. But you're having it to where I'm going to enter. Oh, I'll keep my left
here
foot.
Here I go.
I'll keep my left foot.
I'm leaving. Oh, just kidding. I'm back.
It's the I'm going to count to three. Okay, you ready? You ready? I'm going to spank you once I get to three. One.
Yeah.
Two and a half.
2.6.
2 3/4.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, you're going to bring me a new deal? Oh, okay, I guess I'll stay.
Why are you overreacting? I was never going to leave. Why are you so upset, coach? What you mean? Man, dap me up. Come on, we're buds. Like, that just seems so backwards to me.
It is.
You got one dude driving a Bugatti, and you've got somebody like me who drives a 1997 pickup truck outside.
I don't know. I'd rather get picked up in that thing.
Hey, that thing's sexy out there. Look at her shining in the sun. I'm looking at it right now.
That's rust.
Dang. That's... I ain't got no rust. Not yet, anyway. You never saw my old truck, my first truck, my 1998 single cab Ford F-150 that I bought in high school. That thing had some rust.
There it is.
I bought it in Ohio, so it had some rust. But being real, you've got the quarterback who pulls up in a Rolls Royce and the offensive lineman who drives a beat-up pickup truck. So how do you keep that separate?
Before answering, it's funny that you brought it up exactly like that because I was a college athlete the first year that NIL was a thing, and it was my freshman year, and we had to do a project about whether or not we thought people or college athletes should get paid, and I was one of the very few, obviously, that was in agreement kind of with what you are because I said they shouldn't, and because of it would make it to where there's so many different levels, right? It's so many different things. If it's personalized versus as a team, to where, you know, if you're Auburn, you get more than
Georgia State does, right? And you can spread that evenly, but, you know, when you have a running back that get – who's the running back for Boise State?
Ashton Jeanty.
Who's their left tackle?
Exactly.
It makes it to where, like, you can't name that, but – again, it answers so many different things that are so wrong with it. I wish we could almost go to, I mean, you don't want to say like a benchmark type deal, but to where there's grades and routines and you have checkups and it's you base it off of stats or you base it off of.
It's almost like you were supposed to get paid off your name, image, and likeness on what you did in college rather than be recruited and paid money to come play. What right. a crazy idea that is.
Yeah.
And what a wild thought, Christian.
Or make it to where if it's nationally, if it's even if it's for offensive linemen, like pancake blocks or whatever is a certain amount to where each of your grades or you hit different levels and sure. that's where things come from because
you get paid based off performance like every
like
other job in America
else, rather than yeah please come work for me please
I don't think I've ever had anybody beg for me to work for them.
I don't know the best way of how to stop it because I feel like right now that is the biggest issue because you're having it to where that's why the portal is so popular because and that's how kids are leveraging it because it's oh well look at this quarterback who just got this. I'm better than he is, so I deserve X amount more. And all of a sudden, it's, okay, I'm going to sit back and let teams come to me that's going to bring me that offer.
But call me crazy, I just feel like I haven't heard, and I'm not, I don't have relationships with a lot of the players. I have the ones that we get media relations with and things like that, but I'm just saying as a whole, I haven't heard of a lot of situations where player X said, I'm leaving this school because he makes more money than me. I feel like a lot of these players are leaving because they believe they can make more money somewhere else. It goes back to what you and I have said and what T-Bone and I have talked about, where it is a me world. It's all about me. How can I better me? How can I put me in a better situation? And in life and in your job or your relationships or whatever, you do need to focus on you. Just not all the time and above everything else, every single minute of every single day. But my point on this is, I feel like you have guys transferring so much now because they believe it can be better for them somewhere else. I haven't heard of a whole lot of situations where running back two left because RB1's making $1 million and he's making $200,000. I haven't heard that. Doesn't mean it's not happening. I just think it's more of a, I'm going to leave because I believe I can find it better for me, and best of luck to you guys.
I think that's, again, I feel like a majority of the time that's probably how it is, but I'd be willing to bet that, you know, those things don't go public because
No doubt.
It's funny how NIL and dollar signs do not get brought up with anything when it comes to, so tell me why you made the flip from Alabama to Ole Miss. I just had better relationships and everything. Money is never brought
up. It's like an unspoken thing.
Even in the portal. It's almost like an NDA, like a non-disclosure. Like you don't talk about it in public. So I would not be surprised if there's something like that goes on because I'm sure colleges are now at the point to where they – They're smarter than we are when it comes to the day-to-day things like that, so they understand that these types of problems may occur, right? And so I'm sure there's something that goes on that is refused to go public. Like, it will not that goes on behind the
scenes. There's got to be legal.
Yeah.
Like, legal writings in these contracts that we're writing, because that's what they are. They're contracts, and we're getting to where eventually we will call them contracts. And yeah, I mean, if you're Hugh Freeze in Auburn, you don't want it going public how much you pay Jackson Arnold. We have an idea, but very few people actually know what that number is. But the reason you don't want that number to get out is for the other players on your team, past recruits and future recruits, whether that be high school or transfer portal. Because once the market value is publicized, then all hell breaks loose.
Well, that's exactly what we talked about with offensive linemen, right? Say the market right now in the portal for a lineman is again, I don't know what it is, but say it's $250,000 or whatever. As soon as there's one that gets a seven-figure deal, that's going to go public, and all of a sudden, every single team that wants to get a lineman is going to go, dang, look at what the standard is set at now, to where if this kid is slightly better, he's going to be wanting even more than that.
And we act like this is a new problem. I mean, it's hard. This is a fact in every walk of life. It is really hard to hide money. Some people can do it. There are some people that live in a trailer and they drive a beater and they're millionaires. You've got people that live in a trailer and they drive a Cadillac, but they have no money, right? I mean, or they live in a big house that they can't afford, right? They go out to eat when they can't afford it and things like that. But we've seen this happen forever where I don't know where that Alabama linebacker got that hot red Dodge Charger. That's crazy. I don't know where that came from or why that Auburn quarterback's got a new jacked up pickup truck. His parents really loved him. They wanted him to have a good car, reliable for him in college. Like, it's hard
crazy
to hide money.
That used dealership just found that one and he just strolled up that day.
Do Alabama players like to drive Mercedes? Do they drive those at all?
I don't know.
I feel like they did maybe previously. Maybe not now. I don't think the current coach owns Mercedes dealerships. I'm not sure, though. I'll have to double check.
I don't know. But if we're talking about driving, there's other schools. I'm just kidding.
Hey-o. All right. Let's go to break. No, I'm just kidding. We do need to get to break in a second. But my point is, it's hard to hide money, and you've seen it at every school. We poke fun at Alabama, of course, but it's happened everywhere where the new hot player shows up, and all of a sudden, he's got everything he wants, right? And it's like, okay, we all know what's happening here. Nobody ever spoke of it because nobody wanted it to get uprooted and again, everything to go crashing down. But you're exactly right, where that never gets brought up. Why is there not a single reporter that has the cojones, if you will, to say, hey, how much did they pay you? How much are you making? And legally, no, they probably can't talk about it. But when has that stopped reporters from asking questions before? When has that stopped? And I say that in a good way because they're doing their job. They're trying to press and find the hardcore information.
Investigative journalism.
Yeah. That's
all it is.
What a crazy idea that is. And it's like it's an untouchable conversation. It's like asking a woman if she's pregnant or asking somebody how much money they make. Like, it really is to that level now where it's almost like we grew up where your parents were like, don't ask that question. That's it. That's inappropriate to ask. But why? If that is the leveraging tool that is being used more than anything in high school and transfer portal recruiting now, why can't we find that information? Colleges don't want us to know because of what we just talked about with the market value. But eventually, this is not going to be, oh, secret, hush, hush, because of contracts. And that will be reported. You can look up however much any player in the National Football League, the NBA, the NHL, MLB, you know exactly how much money those jokers make. And that's going to come around in college. I'm telling you it will. When it's all written down in legal, printable, findable documentation.
And then it's going to become the point of, yeah, well, that's how much they're getting from this, but all the undisclosed,
that will always be there.
It will, and it's crazy to think about. But yeah, we keep saying that something has to change in the portal. We've talked about it for 4 years, right? I mean, ever since it even thought about opening up, that it was, okay, what's going to happen now? Because right now it's a one-year free agency. And again, I don't remember who exactly it was, but there was a talk or a tweet or something yesterday that was talking about how you're going to see coaches leave college football in mass because of everything that's happening, and they don't want to have to deal with it anymore. Like,
they can't deal with it.
That's why it's weird that Belichick is coming in, and he's almost working down the level because
he's working in reverse.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in the NFL, you sign your quarterback for 6 years, 2 years don't come around, and he's like, hey, I'm gonna get this or I'm going to leave.
Yeah, you signed him. You're done.
You don't worry about it.
Unless you need to trade him, which then you step in and you handle it and you move on. Crazy where we are nowadays. All right, we got to get to a break. First one here in hour number two. Got a phone call we're going to get to when we come back as well. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. What's up, Pitmaster? How are you today?
Well, how y'all doing? I just got to discuss this off air, but, you know, y'all are talking about not seeing the NIL numbers, but you can see it for some people, like Arch Manning, Shedeur Sanders, and, you know, the kid that went to Michigan from LSU, and, but it's, I just wonder why you can't see it for all of them if you can see it for some of them. I don't think it's a legal matter, like y'all had mentioned earlier, but it's interesting why you can't find the number out for everyone if you so choose to.
I feel like it's weird. It is a really good question, but I feel like it plays into a factor of it's those big-time names that get so much from Gatorade or Nike or whoever it may be that is not necessarily listed as an NIL fund, or it's not necessarily listed as what the university is offering them or giving them to come and play for them. It's one of those undisclosed things of, you know, almost Steph Curry and Under Armour, right? To where that number is not necessarily concreted. There's so many different things that come into play, but it's a really good question, and I feel like it makes it to where it's such a it's a question that's almost unanswerable, right? Because then you're going to get to the point of Oregon can only pay so much for the quarterback. Well, hey, we're going to slide this over to Mr. Knight, and then he's going to make that look like it's coming from the NIL collective.
Well, that's what they're doing already. I mean, it's pretty clear it's what's happening already. I mean, Phil Knight's offering shoe contracts, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about money. If that kid hits a home run, we're talking about big money like you don't know.
And that's where, again, that's where it gets so murky is, think about, like, Livy Dunn, right? An LSU gymnast who, by the way, doesn't even start for them, did not even compete for them in the national championship meet, but yet she's probably making more than Paul Skeens, her professional pitcher boyfriend, because of her influence online. Not hating, just stating facts. I mean, she's not being paid all that money from LSU. She's earning that through all of her different deals and such, but it's all considered how much she's being paid or how much she's making from LSU, right? That's where it gets really, really murky.
Well, that's the murky water of NIL. Name, image, and likeness can come from, you can make your own money on social media, like is what she's doing, mm-hmm. basically. And it's coming from, you know, your average Joe's paying for or her posting stuff and these social media sites giving her money because they get so many clicks. That's not what we're talking about, though. Like, if the quarterback Auburn just got from Oklahoma, our collective paid him a number, 100%.
Correct. And that's what I was going to say, too, is there has to be, and in this conversation, we need to separate collective from everything else, because collective is what the school raises, the money, the pot that they have to shed out money to whoever they want it to go to.
Well, that's where the money's coming from, to get people out of the portal and to get kids like Cam Coleman last year out of high school. The collective is raising this money. When you get here, then your name, image, and likeness, you can make as much as you want to, depending on how you want to use your name, image, and likeness.
Yeah.
That's the difference. But the collective amount, it should be, you should be able to find it out. So I don't know if you should be, but
I think there's an argument there, though. I think there's an argument there, because think about this, Pitmaster. You've got Auburn fans that donate their hard-earned money to the collective, but yet...
Absolutely.
But
you don't think they want to know what they paid them?
Yeah, exactly. But the collective or this university...
I know quite a few of them that donate a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like when you invest in the stock market with a broker. You want to know what he's investing in, especially if you're not getting a return on your investment, right?
I guarantee you they know what they paid them. Or guess what? That collective will dry up real quick.
You're right about that. Pitmaster, great to hear from you, my friend. Thanks so much for the call.
Y'all be good later.
He brings up good points, man. Really good points, I think. And that one right there at the tail end. Some people know, and we, most of us have an idea, right? You see numbers on social media and on message boards and floating around. There are some people that know the exact dollar amount because they watch that check get struck, right? They watch the pen write it on the check. They watch the wire transfer from one account to the other. Some people know the exact dollar amount Auburn has paid to Jackson Arnold, Ashton Daniels, the Virginia Tech offensive line. I mean, you know some people have an idea, especially like Pitmaster said, the big money donors. If I'm somebody that's donating, let's just say $1 million a year, there's donors like that easily. There's a whole club of them. You better believe that before I sit down and stroke you a check for $1 million, you better tell me where it's going. And I'm sure that they do. But what does the person, the Auburn fan that works a 60-hour job per week, has three kids, a wife, and is struggling to make rent, but they still find a way to donate $500 a year? Does that person know where that money went? They ain't got a clue. With this, with all the different things that you can invest in now with Auburn to get more access to whatever you want behind the scenes, and that goes to NIL, does that average Joe know where their money's going? There's no way. There's ain't no way they know where that money's going. But I think they deserve the right to. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me here. Because if I'm misinformed or I don't have this right, then please correct me and I'll walk back what I'm saying. But I have a good feeling that that's exactly what's happening here. And I compare it to your investments. Most people, you have your finance guy. You've got your investor. You have the dude that you give your money to, and they put it wherever they want it to go. But if it's not performing and you don't get your ROI, yeah, you call them up and say, hey, I want to open up the books. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to give you $100 to put it wherever you want. And I call you and say, hey, by the way, I want to check up on stuff. Where did that go? And you're sitting there.
It went somewhere.
It's there. Don't necessarily worry about it. Well, is it doing good or is it not doing good? Yeah. Just know that it's not in your control anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. Something doesn't sit right with me on that conversation. Pitmaster, we appreciate it. Jones also texting in to get that whole thing started. We're talking basketball when we come back because the Tigers and the number two team in the country are back in action. They take on Georgia State coming up tonight inside of Neville Arena. We'll talk about it after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I am Jacob Goins, and we've teased it long enough. I do want to talk a little Auburn basketball because the boys are back. They're back in town. That's right. They're back inside of Neville Arena tonight where Auburn is hosting Georgia State. And while you may think this isn't the sexiest of matchups, you would be correct, Auburn... Has this number changed, Christian, from the number you told me earlier?
Nope, that's still what it is.
Auburn is favored, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you in the betting world. Auburn's favored by 39.5 points tonight against the Panthers of Georgia State, which sounds like a lot.
Then you go back to Saturday.
Where Auburn beat Ohio State by 37 points. So,
and cruised in the second half because
with a
Bruce Pearl
drop.
Said, we respect Ohio State.
They do.
They do, but just the fact that that was said and you still beat a team by 38 is...
But how many times has Bruce Pearl said that this year and it's come true where they say, we are focused on this team. We are focused on Iowa State. We respect them and they are going to get everything we have. And you saw that in the opener, in the season opener, you saw that, which is why some people were saying...
Yeah, what was that? Auburn by like 12.5 against Vermont, and people were saying,
watch out, Auburn's on upset alert.
It could be a 5 or 6 point win.
And Bruce Pearl and the guys took that seriously, and they took that to heart. They took it personally, and they gave everything they had into preparation, game planning, and execution, and they destroyed Vermont, which is what they'd done in almost all of their games this season. And so you would expect them to do that tonight. Right, a quick turnaround from Saturday. Thankfully, you were just in Atlanta, didn't have to fly or do anything like that. So I think Auburn will be fine. They play Georgia State tonight. Then they play Purdue coming up this Saturday, a game that I'm not going to say has lost its value, has lost its peak, its top-tierness, if that's a term, we're coining it. But Purdue has come back down to earth a little bit, but they're still a really good team. And I guarantee that Bruce Pearl is going to say, we are focused on Purdue. We respect Purdue. We are taking them as a top five team in the country, and I would expect Auburn to perform that way.
Yeah, you expect them to do that up into and even throughout all of conference play. I mean, you see exactly what's happening in SEC basketball right now. What was it? There were 12 teams that were in bracketology right now, and the two of them were the first four out. The other two were the next four out. There was one team, I think it's South Carolina, that was listed as the team that was just out completely. Well, if they beat 25-ranked Clemson tonight, I bet you that changes.
Probably so.
But going back, I mean, just Auburn, I mean, you only have two more home games inside Neville Arena until you enter conference play. And so even just having something like that to where let that be your motivation. Like, it's a tune-up game, but you're still playing for your home fans. You're still playing inside the arena that you feel the most comfortable in. There should be zero reason why you don't have 100% focus on the floor tonight.
In a Tuesday night game, 7 o'clock, you can listen to the game broadcast over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com here locally. This is also the game, for those that are attending or going to be watching, listening, whatever, with students being out. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the game or is it the next game where they're allowing?
I think it's both.
Oh, okay. They're allowing, as they always do, and I think it's a genius move, they're allowing general admission, normal fans, to come in and sit in the student section bleachers because of the students being gone for Christmas break. So I like that. I think it's cool. Obviously, when the students are there, the atmosphere is incredible. But in a time where most students are just not here, they allow regular fans to come down and sit in those bleachers. So should be cool. Again, Auburn favored by 39.5. And I am looking, going into this game, right, it's I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you that Auburn's going to have to play their best basketball to win this game tonight. So you have to find different angles when you go into something like
for
this.
Sure.
And the coaches do as well, secretly probably. I look at Miles Kelly. What is his status? Because he's had that wrist injury. He re-aggravated it on Saturday in Atlanta. I watched it, and we asked about it, and Bruce didn't have any answers then. I'm curious on what his availability is tonight, what his production is like tonight. Is he okay, basically? Because could Auburn survive tonight without him? Yes. Could Auburn survive the season without him? Yeah, probably. But he's a really good player, and Auburn would suffer without him. You would notice Miles Kelly, not saying he's got a major injury. We don't really know any of that. I'm playing the what-if game here. Shocker, I know. Without Miles Kelly, Auburn's a different basketball team.
Very much so. I mean, he's the one that brings 25% of the outside scoring. I feel like you would put at that mark. I mean, if not,
I'd have to look into the stats.
Maybe not that much, but again, for one player to hold that much value from behind the three-point line.
He's your best three-point shooter.
From half court and in, he has the green light, it feels like. We've seen it in the games against Duke where it's coming off a screen at the logo. You almost feel more surprised if he shoots and misses sometimes. And that's such a valuable factor to have. You look at that, you look at his status, and then you see if he's not 100%, if he doesn't get action tonight, who's the guy that comes in and fills the shoes and continues to get more and more comfortable in that role, right? Is it Jakai Howard that comes in and plays some more minutes because Miles Kelly doesn't play? Or is it a game that you try and get JP Pegues 20 minutes of action to try and get him out of his head, try and build some confidence? Because I guarantee there's going to be a game where he's needed.
Miles? Yeah,
absolutely. No, Pegues.
Oh, JP.
Like,
yeah,
but just saying, like, yeah, saying it could be Ja'Kai tonight that gets more minutes. It could be JP to where you just give each of those guys eight more minutes than they usually get, and that fills whatever Miles Kelly gets. But so many different angles you have to look at it because, again, you expect everybody to still be able to put up whatever they're used to putting up, but it has to be. You hear so many coaches talk about that next man up mentality and how sometimes when one guy goes down, it, you don't want to say benefits you, but it forces the rest of the team to pick up slack, establish a bit of a different mentality. And so you could possibly have to see something like that tonight if Miles Kelly is not 100%.
You and I deserve a fist bump to each other. We'll do it right now in the studio because we were spot on. Just want you to know. After some quick research, Miles Kelly accounts for 20% of Auburn's three-point attempts. 20% of the three-point attempts, he accounts for 25% of their makes.
Oh, my goodness.
Behind the arc.
Oh, my goodness.
So let me say that again. Miles Kelly accounts for 20% of Auburn's three-point attempts. He accounts for 25% of their three-point makes. So
that was pretty cool.
That was pretty good. We were pretty spot on that one, so congrats. That was pretty
You can
solid.
Keep me around now for a little bit longer.
I'll think about it.
That was off the dome, 25%.
He has made 26 of 55 so far this year, has Miles Kelly, from behind the arc. The second most on the team is Tahad Pettiford, shocker. He's 23 of 51, which is still really good. Nobody else is. The third most is Denver Jones at 43.
Which is weird. You would think CBM would be
he's fourth at 37 attempts. These are attempts.
How many CBM made out of 37?
16.
16?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah. I mean, this team is ridiculously good.
I mean, we talked about it over the break. I don't remember who exactly it was, but I was watching one of the Auburn basketball games and the announcer said that sometimes this team gets in its own way because they get bored on offense. And as much as you sit there and you're like,
that's such
I don't want to hear that, but it's
because it's true.
Like, this team goes on 3 or 4 minute scoring droughts. You feel like every other night or every other game because they settle, because they have so much success to where you give one of those guys a heat check shot once every 4 or 5 minutes and all of a sudden it starts a little bit. I mean, it sounds crazy. I almost don't want to say too much because I know what the feeling of the history of what Auburn does.
That does scare me. I can't lie.
But it's like, I mean, there's just, you feel like there's no way that all 8, 9 guys have an off night on the exact same night to where even if it's only 3 or 4 that have great nights, those 4 in itself can find a way to win a majority of basketball games.
But I do want to remind you and people listening that through the first 10 games, Auburn does have a loss. I mean, we saw them not play well and how it can all come crashing down. Now, that was on the road against Duke, and you played a bad game. And you still had chances to win, and you got hosed on a couple of calls. But guess what? That's going to happen, especially when March rolls around. But I get your point. If Auburn is just playing Auburn, they're going to be just fine. Did you know this team, after playing through, up to this point, the toughest schedule in the country, by far, has the best resume, by far, you know they average 87 points a game right now, as a team? They average 87 points a game offensively.
Do you want to know the list of teams that are top 12 in offensive and defensive efficiency?
Auburn and Tennessee.
Auburn.
Oh, Tennessee's not up there anymore. Offensively is where they got hurt, probably.
But the fact that the list is Auburn.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Got a text about all of this in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Says, okay, give me your top 5 Auburn basketball players of all time. That's a tough one that I probably can't answer off the dome right now, maybe. But the secondary question, the reason he brings it up is the secondary question from Eric in Auburn, he says, where does Jani Broom rank on that list? At this point, he says, you have to ask ourselves, how high is Jani Broom on that list of your top 5 Auburn basketball players of all time? It would be hard to this point. I'm going to say a controversial statement. To this point, with it being this early in the season, and this is the best version of Jani, I don't know if I'm ready to do it yet, but he can get there very easily. If he continues this season in any way, shape, or form, he will become a top five Auburn basketball player of all time. You got to remember, there's been some good ones that have come through here. I know that the history of this program is not good for the most part, but even in recent history, you've had some really good players. I mean, you're talking just in recent, the last decade. And I know you've got the Barclays and the Persons of the world, and that's why I'm saying it would take me a little bit to sit down and really put together a comprehensive list. But look in the last decade. You're still talking Isaac Okoro, Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler. I mean, you're talking legitimate dudes that have played on this program. I don't want that to come off disrespectful to Jani, because, again, if he continues in any way what he's doing this season, averaging 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 assists while shooting 56% from the floor, 59% from the free throw line, and knocking down a third of his three-pointers, yes, he will absolutely be a top five Auburn basketball player of all time.
It's a much easier question to answer at the end of the year, obviously, but just based off of what the SEC slate is and what you were talking about, if there is even a glimpse or even 75% of what he's doing now nightly in conference play, and if this team, which you've said it, is the expectation, is you better have a ring on your finger at the end of the season, otherwise you don't want to call this year
and I'm not talking tournament, an SEC tournament ring in Nashville.
Well, then there better be two of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, that's kind of where you're at. And if something like that were to happen, to where Jani Broome is the first one on the ladder cutting down a net
as the national player of the year.
As the national player of the year or the national champion, there's a legitimate discussion for maybe not even top five.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking top three, top two. I mean, top one.
we're in December.
Yes, and that is something we all need to be reminded of, is we are in December. Auburn still has a couple of non-con games. And SEC play, I'm not saying it's going to be humbling because Auburn is good enough, but it will be a reality check, I think, just because it's going to be that tough. Because Auburn hasn't played many games on the road. They've played one. Auburn's played one true road game so far in 10 games. SEC play, you're going to get that on average every other game. You will see that have an impact on this team, I'm telling you.
The quality of team that you will see every single week, obviously not with this exact format and the night-to-nights, but it will look and feel like Maui.
Yeah.
To where you're watching the game beforehand, shaking a little bit and nervous just because you don't know what the game is going to look like, but you know the team you're about to play, the number that's by them, and how good they are. And so when you look at a Tuesday, Saturday, and Tuesday in seven games, you're playing two ranked teams and you're going on the road to a South Carolina, whoever it may be, a Texas, there is not going to be that game that you circle that's, whew, okay, let me catch my breath a little bit.
I'll say it this way, no disrespect. There is no Georgia States in your SEC schedule.
Right.
You will not see a team like this again this season on a Tuesday night.
No.
This is it. You better enjoy
and
it now.
So, again,
better enjoy it now.
We talked about being humbled. It's not even necessarily like that, but it's just, I mean,
you have Georgia State and Monmouth. You have two more. So you got Tuesday night here and Monday night next week against Monmouth.
And then all of a sudden it's, you need your best 40 minutes of action for the entire 40 minutes.
But the good news is, Auburn's really good. Auburn's really good. This team is already hitting milestones that we've never seen a team in orange and blue do, and possibly a team in college basketball do. And that's what's exciting. They're back in action tonight against Georgia State. 7 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. We need to take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it all up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
All right, we're winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today. I mean, been a really, really good show. If you missed any of it, you are always welcome to go and check out the podcast. We just take the show audio, post it to our station website. You can find that on ESPNAU.com. We talked a lot of transfer portal today for Auburn football as they picked up another quarterback in Ashton Daniels. They picked up another offensive lineman from USC. They've picked up running backs, some edge guys, some DBs. I mean, they've picked up a lot of really good players. And looking forward to breaking those down more as the next several weeks go on. And that's what's great is we have months to talk about the portal additions that Auburn is going to make, the ones they've already made, and the ones that they will continue to make. And so I talked a lot about that today. Also, we had Auburn University's head gymnastics coach, Jeff Graba, join us on the show today as he discussed the Auburn preview meet that's coming up tomorrow night inside of Neville Arena. We got to talk about the schedule. We got to talk about the team a little bit. So that was a really, really good interview. So if you missed that or our basketball conversations, had some NIL talks today, really good show. It was kind of all over the place, but in a good way. And so if you missed that, again, go and check it out at ESPNAU.com. Do you have I can't even ask you for a prediction for tonight for Auburn because, they're favored by 39.5. I am, as I mentioned before, I am looking at Miles Kelly to see if he plays, how much he plays, what his impact is. What are the other games coming up? There's a couple of good games
tonight.
Florida. North Carolina needs a win desperately. They have just flatlined in this season. They are 6-4 this year with losses to number one Kansas, number four Auburn at the time, Michigan State, and number 10 Alabama. Like, They've lost all their big games so far. They need a win desperately against a Florida team that is looking really, really good.
South Carolina also gets to play 25th ranked Clemson. If the Gamecocks
talk about a team that needs a win,
I was going to say that team could use a really big win as well.
Ooh, UNLV Dayton.
I was going to say UNLV Dayton.
Go Dayton Flyers.
Katie Johnson heads up to Cameron Indoor where he'll probably shoot 30 times, but put up 30 points.
What are his latest stats? I actually looked at this a couple of weeks ago. I looked at it with like 4 or 5 games into the season. Katie Johnson averaging, what, eight points?
8-3-3.
Shooting 47.5%. Hey, 50% from downtown. He's averaging one make per game. He's only shooting 2 threes a game. What the heck did they tell him?
Must have been in the contract somewhere.
It had to be. All respect and love to KD Johnson. Wish him nothing but the best.
But no, there's some great things. There's a bunch of college basketball. The NBA Cup Championship is tonight with the Bucks and the Thunder. Did you see the new All-Star game?
I did see that.
Format where it's four teams. There's 3 games in one night. There has not been a positive comment from an NBA player about it yet.
Gosh.
Even like guys like Kevin Durant are coming out and talking about how much they dislike it.
Talk about the downfall of what I used to think was probably the best commissioner in professional sports in Adam Silver, and that has just gotten flipped on its head immediately.
And it's weird because, again, the NBA Cup is fantastic. You're seeing final scores that are 83-76 in 48 minutes of action because guys are talking about that it's a playoff-type environment. Like, the defense is absolutely legit. And, again, now the All-Star break is – or the All-Star game is doing, again, such a weird format as well. Again, no MLB Baseball Power Hour, but more news. I'm sure you've heard about Juan Soto and Max Fried and everybody. Cody Bellinger, about 30 seconds ago, was just traded to the Yankees.
Oh.
So –
what they need is another big name.
Team just getting stacked. Both New York teams putting in work right now, much like Hugh Freeze is in the transfer portal for the MLB.
Gosh, that makes me so sad.
The Braves will do something eventually, though, I think.
Will they? Just keep poking it with a stick, see if it'll move, see if it'll do anything. All right, we're out of time. We got to go. Auburn basketball plays tonight. We'll be there. Be sure you listen in if you can't be there. Wings 94.3 and wingsfm.com. Back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.